two, one. Action.
3, 2, 1.
Sing clap. So, welcome to the Corridor Cast again. It's another week. It's a week between weeks.
A week between weeks.
A week between two other weeks.
That's beautiful.
It's true. We filmed the second season of Son of a Dungeon last week. Well, the first half of it. We're filming the next week. It's really intense. It's like, imagine writing Game of Thrones and then having to memorize half of it, and then your actors are always constantly like giving you like feedback on the script. They're like, you know, I think my character would say this. I'm like, that's fine. And then later, like down the line, two scenes later, you're like, oh crap, that totally changes this scene because of that other. And then you're constantly rewriting the script as you're filming it.
So kind of like Game of Thrones.
So like Game of Thrones, basically. Yeah.
As the seasons are coming out, they are rewriting the show.
Exactly. But yeah, other than that, yeah,
a lot of things happened last week in the world of what is the world called? We don't even have a name for it.
The world, like yeah. Earth,
like the world of Cecilton and Wentinghamshire.
Oh, I'll think of that. Yeah, we'll think of something like that. Yeah, it'll be like you know, freaking Fairyland or something. You know, like but that
Fairyland.
Vibe. Fairyland.
Make-believe place.
Make-believe place. Land of toys. Sam's toy chest.
Sam's toy chest.
Magnificent toy chest.
The twisted mind is of Sam Gorski.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what were you guys just doing? We delayed this podcast for like a half hour because there was some scanning going on. I don't know what happened.
I'll let Jordan explain.
Yeah, we were doing some foot stuff.
Sounds you know, weird.
As you do.
Ren was photo scanning his foot.
Yeah.
But I thought it was funny because I thought Ren needed Jordan's foot for a project he's working on.
He needs it more than he knows.
But then I realized, he's just scanning the foot. It's Jordan needs his own foot.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
And I can upload it to Turbo Squid.
That, you know, that's not a bad idea.
You can put it on Sketchfab at least.
Well, I was looking for Jordan a Allen's good foot model, like a really good ultra realistic foot model. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't find one, so my own feet are sacrifice.
That's funny. And for some reason, you need variations. You need like dirty,
clean, and those are the variations.
The only two states of existence:
dirty and clean.
Yeah,
that's it.
Exactly. That's all there is.
Sam, what was this image of this photo scan you put out earlier that said you took less photos of it? That thing looked
really good.
Real. Sam took a photo scan. What happened?
It's a
it
photo
looked
scanning
way better
week
than the other photo
actually
scans.
It's a photo scanning week. Photo scanning, for those of you don't know, it's when you take a bunch of pictures of an object and you give it to a program, and the program magically makes it a 3D model. So they're scanning feet. And I'm scanning the like huge table maps for Son of a Dungeon. But previously, we were doing like 700 to, like, even at one point, we did like 1,200, over 1,000 pictures for a map. And I was like, this is not the way to do this. So I tried a new technique where I take way less photos. I took like 350 photos this time, which is basically half, but using a different technique of just making sure there's like really clear, crisp, wide shots and keeping it minimal. It just like, it looks almost photo real, and like the detail is like, is it's like as if you were to take it and bring it like right next to your eye and look at it. And
are you getting that level of detail across the entire map image now, or was
basically
that just one?
So the first table is like it's like a B, maybe a B minus if I had to rate it, and then this most recent one is like an A. It's not like an A plus or like an S plus, you know, God tier anything.
S plus. Do they still do that? Do they still give out
S Japanese racing games? It's and at Quarter Digital.
Is that from like is that like a Japanese school thing? You've been to Japan. Do you take a peek in any classrooms?
I
know
you're
solid. You know, you get
your
guys.
You got all the answers right. You got all the answers right plus the extra credit question, so you get an S.
And then you did all the extra credit and also you did all the tests right, and also you're handsome, so it's S+.
And then you got the test right and the extra credit, and you're handsome, and you did it faster than anybody else. So you're triple S.
It's about triple
S. I used to get S pluses in elementary school.
That's true, actually. Satisfactory. That was like a solid.
And then
B.
S minus, you're like less than satisfactory. It's like,
and then NS.
No, it was you.
Was it you? Unsatisfactory?
Yeah. But unsatisfactory.
But why change? Why not do ABC? Like,
why not do the ABCs? Because
we're kids. Because we're like freaking 2 years old.
Like, yeah, it's like you get a U minus. I think it's like,
look, you did better than half, so you got it. Okay, let's move on to the next thing. But like, you know, when you get older, then, you know, it's like, well, how much above half did I get? I need to know.
Well, I mean, but there's already multiple. You have a not satisfactory, and then S minus, S, and S plus. It's like, that's like A, B, C, D, and then an
unsatisfactory is like, is an F.
Why did they skip E?
Thank you.
Where's E? Where
the heck is E?
I guess I just like, once you're doing a D level, you're just a failure. So, because just by coincidence, happens to be F.
F means failure.
Yeah. But D doesn't mean like, I think it does mean deficient. And C is like.
A is. Yeah, you're acing
awesome.
It.
Awesome.
Acing it. Yeah. B is better than most. C is.
No, that's not how it goes.
Compliment.
No, it goes like this. It goes like this.
Things left to be desired.
No, D is deficient.
Guys, I've got it.
And then they're like, okay. E, and then they're like, oh, let's just skip that. Like, if you're at an E, you basically are already failing anyways. So
I want to hear Jake's set of letters.
A is average. B is bad. C is a damn catastrophe.
And what is D?
Catastrophic.
No, D C is catastrophe. D is damn catastrophe.
Yeah. And F is D and F do not exist. You are done. You are done when you get a D. Goodbye.
That.
Yeah.
Aced it.
So why do they even have
the most competent?
Because so they're like, F means fail, but then they're failure. Like, but you're failing if you have D's too.
Not really.
Well, in grad school you do. In grad school, like, they'll kick you out of law school if you don't maintain a B minus average.
Well,
they'll just kick you out.
I think
because they know you're not likely to pass the bar exam, and so they don't want to drag down their school's numbers on like passage rate. So then they'll just like go, all right.
You almost got kicked out.
Yeah, I did. I did. When we were filming Sync, I almost failed. I almost flunked out. It wasn't flunking. See, it wasn't flunking. It was like I almost C-plused my way out of law school.
So you're getting C-pluses.
Yeah. Right.
Now, but nationally,
in like
this
high
is
school, like you're like C, yeah.
This is competent lawyer work, but we want better than most.
Well, the thing is that the California bar exam is so hard that and the passage rate is so low to begin with that they it's just like a ravenous competition to like get, you know, because what you don't want is like, oh, the kids from this law school have a lower than average passing rate, then all of a sudden people will be like, oh, that means like that's not a good school, you know, I'm not likely to pass the exam if I do that.
What's an average passing rate for the bar, do you know off the top of your head?
I think it's like 45%.
So what happens if you don't pass it? You just do something else?
You're forever banned from
average
being
California bar.
You can try it again.
Rate.
You get barred.
Yeah, you ended up spending $1,000 and you just gotta give another shot.
Yeah. Okay, first timers, let's see.
Wait, you're 45%? You're talking lawyers out there get half the questions wrong.
No, 45% of the people who take the exam pass it the first time.
Oh, God. Okay.
And but then people who take it more than once, second timers, it's like it falls off even further.
Oof.
They've got really hard stats on this.
Oh, I bet they do.
All applicants. Okay, it's gone up slightly. Pass rate for general bar exam by law school. This is because people were complaining about it. First timers is now 66%.
God, I'll just let anybody become a lawyer these days.
It's like climbing Everest now.
I know. They'll just let anybody in. But then pass rate for repeat applicants, 19%.
It's a societal construct.
Hey, so supposedly that guy from Catch Me If You Can, Frank Darabont, passed the bar just by studying really hard. Is you think that's possible? Yeah. Can you pass a bar with like 2 weeks of cramming?
That was the Louisiana bar. And I'm not dishing. I'm not dissing on Louisiana. But they have a different process there.
It's more. It's like more feudal.
let me look it up. There's different requirements.
That's BS. Apparently, he actually didn't pass the bar. That's just one of his many cons. He conned us into thinking he actually did that.
What a man.
Yeah.
So you don't need to go to law school. Okay. A graduate of a law school accredited by the ABA. Okay. So you do need it now. But for a long time, and I assume it was in the same way in Louisiana in the 1960s, you didn't need to have gone to a law school in order to sit for the exam. It was just like, well, if you can pass it, I guess you can do it.
Wait, so that's not a thing anymore?
Over time, it has become more of a thing where the requirement is now you need to have a Juris Doctorate degree in order to sit for the exam.
Interesting.
There's some loopholes in different states, but back in the day, before like the concept of law school was like a thing and it slowly became more of a thing, people could just sit for the exam.
Huh. Feels like, I don't know. What do you think, Jake? Was that the right move?
Well, sorry, say that again.
Was that the right move? Do you think that was the right move?
Sorry, go say what you said before that, because you cut out for a second.
Oh, I'm just saying, do you think making it so you have to go to law school to become a lawyer was the right move? Or do you think people should be able to take the test regardless?
It's an interesting question. I think there's merits to both. I mean, the downside to requiring people to go to school is obviously that you now have this pretty arduous like time and money burden, where you're like, hey, now you need to go, you know, anywhere from 2 to 4 years depending on the program that you're in. It's going to cost you anywhere between $100,000 to $300,000 depending on the school and the time. And that's what you have to do just to sit for the exam, right? Like, right. You're not a lawyer yet. You just to sit for the exam. But the upside to that is like people that want to do it take on a big risk. And then the people that actually are able to get the license to practice. Now, you know, there's a lot more that went into it than just, hey, I studied under a lawyer, or I studied for a few months and then I sat for it and passed it. Now, but then the other side is like, who can sit for it and for after studying for like a couple months and just pass it? Like, you're not, you know.
Yeah, I guess so.
And then the other side of that too is like, there's all these sort of like other triggers in place within the profession itself that like, you know, sort of guard against like malpractice and things like that. Now, you know, people that have bad experiences or people that sue for malpractice, I'm sure would have differing opinions on that. But
what's the secret lawyer handshake look like?
A secret lawyer handshake?
Yeah. What will you show us, the secret lawyer handshake?
No, I can't do that. That would be
almost had him.
It would be, I could get disbarred for that.
It's a podcast. Nobody can see it.
Yeah, we can't see below your elbows.
No, you might, somebody in the future might be able to decipher the wind patterns that I make with my hands. Yeah. And then using AI, turn it into a physical image. It'd be bad.
Yeah, gotta be careful.
Hey guys, Jake here, courtesy of today's sponsor, Manscaped, to tell you about the Performance Package 4.0, just in time for Valentine's Day. Now, This little beauty has everything you're gonna need to keep yourself looking fresh, feeling fresh, and just being awesome this Valentine's Day when you're out on your hot date. Let me tell you about what's in this performance package. First and foremost, it has the Lawnmower 4.0. This is Manscaped's signature trimmer, okay? The fourth generation. This little beauty has a 4000K LED light, so it's easy to see in those hard to reach places. It also has the advanced skin-safe technology on the trimmer, meaning that you're less likely to cut or nick yourself in those uncomfortable places, and it has a cordless recharger. But that's not all they got in here. They also have the Weed Whacker nose and ear trimmer just for you. This thing has a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. But in addition to this, you're also going to get the free shed travel bag and the anti-chafing boxer briefs directly from Manscaped. These boxers, honestly, they're great boxers. The lawnmower trimmer is great. All their products are phenomenal. And I've been using them, obviously, since they've been sponsoring the podcast. I've been trying everything out and using everything. And I gotta say, it's all top notch. It's clean, it's fresh, and it's nice, and it's good quality. It's really good quality. So that's what's in this beautiful Performance Package 4.0. And if you guys are interested in getting your hands on it or any other Manscaped products that they have to offer, head on over to manscaped.com and use the promo code CorridorCast to get 20% off plus free shipping. So once again, huge thanks to them for sponsoring. You're welcome. And let's get back to the podcast.
So Jordan, I'm kind of curious about this foot thing still. Still, your feet are still on my mind.
Right.
It happens.
So it's part of the next video, which is a disgusting render challenge.
Yeah.
Are we sure that's a good idea?
No, we're not. This is a terrible
idea. Ren almost, I guess, apparently was like about to throw up or something.
Like, do we have a rule at Corridor where we don't make anything intentionally bad?
Well, it's intentionally bad in the sense that it's intentionally without craft.
Yeah.
We said this about the unsatisfying render challenge, though, and for months we stayed away from it, and it turned out people loved it.
Yeah. There's a certain satisfaction in it, I think. We were looking at some videos yesterday and absolutely repulsive, getting in the spirit of things.
Yeah,
you know?
A guy who was like, yeah, I've got a cyst on my leg and it's been like 30 years.
I genuinely almost threw up.
It's like, yeah, he somehow, for some reason, waited 30 years to deal with it. Ugh. Imagine having a 30-year problem like that. On your
lazy
body.
Asshole.
It's just getting bigger and bigger.
What a weird state of mind. Imagine like it's like, yeah, you don't clean your room for 30 years. You don't like take a shower for 30 years. It's like it's in the same category.
Yeah.
You have this giant ball of pus on your leg. Anyway, so the videos, they cut it open.
Have a strong stomach. I will say I was almost on the floor. I felt sick and Sam just stared it down.
Yeah.
Just eyeballed it the whole time.
Sam was just like, all right, let's do it. Sam rolled the constitution
quivering. I was quivering, but I steeled my nerves.
The clotted cream.
It was very...
Oh my God. See, everyone's tuning out the podcast now. Like, not only are you guys ruining the video, you're ruining the podcast.
Anyways, what about your feet is so disgusting?
It's not...
Because I saw them, and frankly, you know, there's a little dirt here and there.
Yeah,
but
they could be better, but they're not the worst. And I can't give away too much as far
as Jordan.
I have like long feet, which I don't know if that's an advantage. Like I can run a little faster.
How big are your feet?
Michael Phelps thing going on
there. Well, I guess they're not that long. I'm size 11.
Is that what the doctor said?
They're
got long foot,
like,
ma'am. I'm sorry. You'll never be able to run.
He gave me a ticket to clown school immediately.
Surgically shortening my feet to run faster.
Yeah. It's part of the render, though. It's like just a part of the reveal of what I'm working on. Because we kind of decided to go with some phobias that we had in the nasty community. And for me, feet are repulsive. I have a difficult time with them. So
thankfully, society has agreed that in public, we cover them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank God.
Thank God.
At least you cover the bottom of them.
Yeah.
Well, they're uncovered now. I mean, there's a highly detailed 3D scan.
Jordan's foot reveal.
TurboSquid, yeah, get it now. You know,
once we hit 6-7 million, how many subs on? Yeah, whatever our next million sub mark.
It's the giveaway
on the crew channel will be the foot reveal.
The TurboSquid crew foot reveal.
Oh my gosh!
Can I add that to the time capsule?
Yes, just
my foot.
Yes,
get that in there.
Yeah, dig up the time capsule so we can add more stuff into it.
Is that thing really still in the dirt back there?
I think so. What, they buried a microwave or something, right?
Someone's gonna dig that up one day.
It'll be funny, and they'll load it up, and it's these videos of these 3D models of Peter and Ren dancing or whatever. It's like, what the hell?
Are you gonna do a render for this challenge?
I want to, but I'm concerned that my time is a little fractured.
Mm.
But I have ideas. I just need to buckle down and do them.
I think it'll go over well. I hope.
Yeah, it might be simple, but it'll be disgusting.
Yeah,
I get the two confused.
And there's a fine line too. We don't want to venture into gore territory. We're going with stuff that just turns the stomach. You
need to be watchable. You know,
keeping it PG. You know,
keeping it PG.
Are feet PG? There's feet in PG movies.
Are you sure that's PG? I don't know if disgusting renders is PG.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think I misspoke.
PG-13.
Yeah.
Teens only.
Teens only.
You have to be 13 years old to watch this. What a weird rating. PG-13.
13 plus.
Yeah, that's a weird barometer.
You can say the F-bomb twice in a PG-13 movie.
I got carded on a date when I was, I think I was 24. And I got carded PG-13 for a rated R movie.
Oh. He's like, I got carded for a PG-13.
Wait, really?
Carded for a PG-13. You want to see Happy Feet? Yeah.
Show me that.
Can you tell us about this experience where you got carded for an R movie?
It was a first date, and things were. I would give things maybe a B+ to that point. Yeah. And you know, we went to go see who was it? It was like a war movie of some kind. I can't remember. Rated R. Just real edgy stuff for a first date, you know. It's the kind of guy that I am.
Yeah.
And we walk up there, and
not a comedy, of course.
Not a comedy. No time
for
that.
So funny. Yeah, first date. It's like, yeah.
First date. Let's go.
Private Ryan. Here we go. Yeah. It's like, yeah. Setting the mood.
It was.
It's a calculated.
It was based in World War II.
Do you want to go see Schindler's List?
Yeah. Highly visual war drama.
Yeah.
And yeah, she gets her ticket just fine. And I go up right behind her, like, we're the only two there. Clearly, this is a date. And, you know, it's already proven that she's 24, 25 at this point. And I walk up and.
But she was carded?
No, she was not carded.
Proven, but how was it proven?
Well, I guess she wasn't carded,
okay.
And we
property.
Were on a date. So either she's doing something very illegal, or just maybe give me a ticket to the movie.
Very illegal.
Like, confront
sneaking,
her, not me.
Sneaking
like,
into
how dare you go out with this young boy?
Are you lost, son? I don't know what his problem was, but yeah, he looked me up and down and he said, show me your ID.
Oh my gosh.
I think it was, are you sure he wasn't just like flexing? Like
maybe he was.
Power move. He's like, oh, look at these two sweet people on a date, this beautiful couple. Watch me like I'm jealous. Watch me make this dude feel embarrassed.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, you look like you're two.
Roasted. Yeah. So I had to take out my ID and that was uncomfortable for everybody, I think. Mm. For the rest of the date, you know, you think about what people around you start to think.
And he's like, why did I question his age? Turns out he wasn't 13.
How old do you have to be to get into an R movie? 17?
16, yes. I think, isn't it? Is it 17?
I think it's 17.
16-year-olds can't handle it.
No. Nope.
You have to be 17.
So this girl that you were on this date with was legitimately wondering if you were 17?
Yeah, I hope she wasn't. Because she agreed to go out. So I certainly hope that wasn't on her mind.
How they used to not make rated R content because they didn't think it would make any money? Like, they would only make movies up to like PG-13, and like rarely was there a rated R movie because just they wouldn't perform in theaters.
Hmm.
And then Air Force One.
That's still been a thing all the way up until like modern blockbusters.
Yeah, but now we have streaming, so it's less of a thing. But like Air Force One came out, and that was the first like rated R movie to break a certain threshold, like $100 million or something like that. And I was like, oh my gosh! Air Force One proved that you can make rated R movies that succeed in the box office. So there you have it.
Open season.
Air Force One.
Are you kidding me? Terminator 2
well,
came out years before that.
I know. But hey, I'm not an executive.
Air Force One. Wait, what is
yeah, they were like, anecdote? Air Force One proves that you can make
Air
a radar
Air Force One
movie.
Proves it?
Because that's how Hollywood is.
But like Aliens, Alien,
and
like
Terminator 2, Terminator. A giant box office success.
No, Terminator 2 is rated R.
Terminator 2 was like gangbusters, right?
I don't know. I feel like it
made $520 million in the box office. Its budget was $100 million. So I'd say that's
when Terminator 2 came out, I was dying to see it. And I was like what, a freaking...
You were
three?
Dying to see Terminator 2? That came out in 91.
You're seven.
No,
six,
no, it wasn't 91. But the
you
thing
were
like
4 years
it,
old.
It was okay, hold on. Let me remix this. It must have been 96 or something, and they're still pumping out Terminator toys. Mm. And I'm seeing these Terminator toys going like, this movie must be the coolest movie. And it took still years after that for me to actually watch it. But
Terminator 2 3D.
When a rated
Battle
R movie
across
can
time.
Capture a child's imagination. I don't know.
Were you allowed to watch rated R movies as a kid?
Yes.
Yeah, Sam had all the coolest movies. Oh.
Sam
introduced me to like, you know, anime. And
yeah,
like
my dad would be like, all right, it's a sick day. And he'd hand me like a VHS of Akira when I'm like 11.
It's a sick day.
I'm serious. I watched it when I was like in fifth or sixth grade. And I was just like, what the fuck? I even made him get me like an Akira t-shirt when I was like in sixth grade. And I'd be wearing it to school and like, oh man, this is so edgy. I'm like the biggest edgelord right now because it's a rated R movie.
Did you ever get carded at like Video Update or Blockbuster or anything like that?
I don't remember any of that crap. I worked at one.
You know, I never walked back into the
adults
only section.
Wait.
Yeah,
I should have. You worked at a movie rental place?
I worked at the Video Update in Stillwater.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I worked there for like a half year. Only it was like a half year. It was like basically just a summer.
Did you get free rentals?
Yeah, it was great.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, I just watched tons of movies. I rent all the games I want to and just...
Oh, nice.
Played games all summer and watched all these crazy movies.
Dude, yeah. It's like Netflix before Netflix.
No, yeah, it was really
modern.
It was awesome. It was awesome because, like, yeah, you'd get all like the new stuff in every week on Tuesday, and you'd like take it before it goes on the shelves and watch it. And
I forgot about that. Like, if there's a popular new movie coming out, like you had a good chance of not being able to watch it. Because
you couldn't get it. Yeah. You could not get it.
Mm-mm.
Yeah,
tough times.
Like, did anybody just return it? Can you process your returns, please, so I can see if it's in there? And sometimes be like, fine.
That's yeah.
Oh yeah, the little slots for the VHS return.
Oh yeah,
dude, I used to ride my bike to Video Update so I could rent Nintendo 64 games. So you rent them for 1 week for like $5.
Yeah, what a deal.
Video.
Yeah.
I've never heard of Video Update. Yeah. Blockbuster.
Yeah.
I'm very familiar.
It's a regional thing. Let's see what happened to Video Update.
Like Hollywood Video.
Hollywood Video was actually down the street from Video Update.
Okay.
They had a lot of employee theft at Hollywood Video. In fact, Hollywood Video is so rife with employee theft that everybody in my high school, in my grade, like knows about it.
Everyone has a VHS.
Yeah. And they also,
yeah,
like,
Hollywood Video was the scummy video rental.
Yeah. He says you actually rent your games from Hollywood Video because sometimes the employees would be so stoned that they'd forget to scan them correctly. So when you bring it back, they'd be like, oh, it doesn't say it's checked out. This isn't ours. And they'd let you keep it. So that you, yeah. Like,
oh, that's incredible.
Yeah, so you could get games that way.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah.
That's right. Wow. Okay, Video Update. Nuts. Here we go. It started maybe in Eagan, Minnesota. I'm trying to figure out where it started.
Oh, it's a Minnesota thing.
Mm. Yeah.
Just a, you know, let's, it's like a family video. It's another one of those local video chains.
Renting video games, man, what a nostalgia trip.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, because I didn't have any video game consoles until I was in high school. And so, like, yeah, at birthday party, it's like, we're renting an N64 for the day. And it's just like, yeah. Oh my God. Playing like Need for Speed or whatever those games were on that. And oh my God.
N64 was such a game changer.
Turok. Oh yeah. And PS1.
Turok. Oh my God.
Oh, dude. Turok the dinosaur hunter, dude.
Yeah. Turok.
You have all those crazy weapons.
Wait, wait.
Like,
everyone
like,
pronounce it. How did you pronounce it?
Turok.
Turok.
Turok. Whatever.
I pronounced it Turok. Yeah.
Respect.
Turok the dinosaur hunter.
Yeah, so you shoot the dinosaurs like and they go flying and there's like these blood trails that just drip down for some reason.
Dude.
You're like, yeah.
Yeah, games are all about what kind of gore graphics can you do. Like, what was that other game? Soldier of Fortune?
Soldier of Fortune 2 specifically.
That was the goriest.
Yeah, I remember finding a box of the game and I flip it over and they're like, we've dissected the human body into 46 different like pieces you can dismember with the weapons in this game. And I was just like, Jesus Christ. It was awesome.
You could shoot people, like, if you shot somebody through a glass window, the glass would shatter and stick into the character model. And so, like, if you shotgun somebody, they'd have all these glass shards stuck in them on top of all the damage.
It was so brutal.
It was super gory.
I can't believe I've ever heard of this game before.
Soldier of Fortune, it was, like, the, like, gory shooter game.
It was like, oh my gosh. It was, like, cutting edge.
I wasn't allowed. I wasn't like allowed Raven near those mature titles and rated R movies. Like the movie that always eluded me as a kid. I used to collect Jackie Chan VHS movies every week. I'd go and buy another one because I'd get $6 a week.
Oh, wow.
And they were $6. Woo. But all the rated R catalog were off the table for me. So Rumble in the Bronx was like the coveted.
Oh. But why is that rated R?
That's rated R?
I don't know. How many times did you say the F word?
Like, I don't want any fucking trouble.
I don't want any fucking trouble.
I don't know. I mean, I've seen it now. I love it. And I don't get it either.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow. Dang. What? No way. Dude, okay, IMDb gives it a 6.8 out of 10.
That's insane.
Wait, what's the 28 out of 10?
IMDb is a joke.
Yeah.
Rumble the Bronx is a 2.8 out of 10.
6.8 out of 10.
Rumble the Bronx is
wonderful.
It's way better than 6.8. There's probably like grandmas that watched it and they're like, I can't handle all these high kicks.
Yeah. Oh, all these outtakes at the end when it's a ladder fight, not funny.
They're all making trouble. They are all having trouble right now. They're all making trouble and I can't abide by that. So one star.
It's too real.
Two stars.
There's too much crime in New York City. And this is just making more children want to be criminals. Karate criminals.
Karate criminals. Yeah.
All right. Video update. Was acquired out of bankruptcy in 2001 by a competitor, Movie Gallery Incorporated.
Movie Gallery. I remember Movie Gallery.
That company, the country's second biggest movie and game rental business behind Blockbuster, went out of business in 2010. Oh my God, what an ugly time to be in the video rental game. Video update went out in 2001, and then it was acquired by another company, which went out of business in 2010. But there was one video update store in Eagan, Minnesota that lasted until 2012.
Oh my gosh.
For two decades, Jim and Dave Lozinski owned and operated their own video update store. Even as the company's fortune fell, the two applied for and received a lifetime franchise license to keep their business open.
Wow.
As far as we know, we're the last ones worldwide, said Jim on Friday afternoon.
Wow.
Wow. And then they went out in 2012. Just couldn't keep up.
Yep. End of a lifetime.
The writing was on the wall. Let's be real.
Yeah, I think the writing was on the wall.
GameStop's like the only like chain from that era that's like held on.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to hold on much longer, though.
I tend to agree with that, too. Yeah. I'm kind of surprised they've made it as long as they have.
You know, they got a nice little boost, I guess, this past year somehow through stocks.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
And then we're going to watch that burn away over the next 2 years here.
Yeah.
There's still a Blockbuster left, though. There's one in existence,
like,
right?
Oregon or something like that, or Washington. Yeah.
Porky.
Blockbuster Video. There's one in Bend, Oregon.
That's crazy.
Wow. Yeah. Parent organization Viacom. Oh, wow.
Viacom owns the one Blockbuster?
Apparently. Apparently.
That's funny.
I remember one of my buddies got like the hard drive for the PlayStation 2 back in the day, and you could actually copy games onto it. So you just go to Blockbuster and rent a PS2 game, copy it to his hard drive, and then return it. And he just would slowly build up his library of games by doing that.
Oh, that's genius. Yeah.
You could do that with the movie rentals, too.
Of course, you could rip the DVDs and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I feel like I had a greater appreciation.
My friend has two VCR players, man. We can copy Terminator 2 Judgment Day and then own it forever.
Watch it whenever I want.
Yeah, there was a greater appreciation, I think, for me back when it was harder to get these things.
Yeah.
You know, we're like inundated with insane shows and movies on demand all the time. And like going to Blockbuster and finding it and then getting it home and then rewinding it and then playing it. It's like
someone was not kind. Someone was not kind and forgot to rewind.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah. What a time.
Mm.
I miss that.
Me too.
Now it's like, I don't know what subscription service I want to watch tonight. There's just so much content. I can't even decide.
So I've made a mistake with my subscription services, by the way. I've made a horrible mistake. I'll advise all you guys so you don't fall into the same pit that I'm in. So, you know, I get Netflix. I'm like, you know what, for Christmas, this year is like 2015. I'm gonna get a family account for Netflix. I'm gonna get a login to my mom, my dad, Ivy's parents.
And then we were still living, so I still
Sam
use it.
Sarah.
I still use it. I don't care. I mean, if you can politely ask me to, like,
no, keep using it.
Not use it whenever you wish, but yeah, until then.
I was using Clint's, like, Corridor was using Clint's Amazon Prime for like 6 years.
Oh, yeah. And Clint got Amazon Prime, and then it was our official, like, Amazon. We were added as family members.
Yep. I remember the day we got our own Amazon account. It was big happenings.
But, you know, so I get Netflix, and like another year rolls around, and all the parents are like, we love the Netflix gift. We hope you'll keep doing it. Like, that's fine. I'll keep doing it. Like, this year, you know, I want to watch something on Hulu, so I'm going to get Hulu or Game of Thrones. All right, guys, for this Christmas, you guys get HBO subscriptions. I got a family account for HBO. And like, so now at this point, like all of Ivy's parents, my parents, like they have our HBO, our Hulu, our Netflix. And so now I'm like, I don't give a crap about HBO right now. I don't need HBO. I don't want to watch Netflix right now. I'm not watching anything. And I go to cancel. I'm like, wait. I can't cancel it because now this is like, this is their present. Like, and now I'm like permanently subscribed to like 6 streaming services because
too many
Christmas presents, Spotify's and Netflix's, and like, I can't stop. I can't get out of it now. I'm forced into subscribing for everybody.
That's brutal.
Now you just got to set aside a portion of the budget each month just for your
you need your Crunchyroll one for the anime.
Mm-hmm.
You need your Netflix. You got your HBOs.
Don't forget Peacock.
You got your Disney.
That's an important one.
Disney's, Hulu's. You got your Paramount Pluses. You got your Peacocks.
I subscribe to Paramount Plus so we can
then
watch
I guess
Clues.
Then I mean I'm still on YouTube Premium's dope because
that's
I wish
right.
YouTube. Thank God, Google, who is an ad company, has let people subvert their ads by just giving a couple bucks.
Yeah.
Because, God.
Unfortunately, I got to keep ads so I can see what's actually out there because it's kind of our business.
What are you looking for?
Nothing. I just need to see what is the ad experience like on YouTube. So I say ad.
I mean, I catch them every once in a while over the shoulders of the less fortunate, but I'm just saying, like, I wish Instagram, if Instagram did that. Thank God.
But I did immediately unsubscribe. I did subscribe to YouTube Premium when Milo started watching YouTube videos. Cause like, there's no way I'm going to let my 2-year-old deal with it. YouTube.
Oh
ads.
My God. I know.
I feel so sorry for all the children out there who's like, are just getting blasted with ads that are not at all vetted for children or anything like that. It's like YouTube is like a wasteland for kids. It is just rotting their brains.
500 hours of content every minute.
Oh man.
Yeah. I mean, I like getting and watch YouTube, but it's the thing where it's like, all right, you get X time per day. And then also like, I constantly like tap him on one shoulder and he looks, and then I like mute a ton of these channels so they never pop up ever. you have to be like on it, you know,
you have to be very involved.
Because there are people who are like, there are people existing who make decent kids shows on YouTube.
Yeah.
But there's also not too. There's a lot of people who are just like, oh yeah. Like that one guy, I'm not going to say his name or where we talked to him. But yeah. Like, I remember that one guy, he was like, yeah, it doesn't matter whose fingers they are in there. It doesn't matter. The kids still watch it.
What's the context of that?
Toys and stuff.
This guy, talk about creepy, gross render challenges.
That's the worst.
Yeah, like guy, he's talking about like kids render videos where it's like they're playing with toys. And it was like, he was like saying, yeah, it doesn't give a, no one gives a fuck whose fingers are in there, you know, just, you know, so anyone can do it. And so we're doing like 20 channels like this. Where it's like, ugh.
Yeah. He had a whole thing going where he had an empire. He had a slumlord's empire of channels just of like kids opening toys and things like that. And like, yeah, he was going on about it to us about how it was a whole business. And
that's,
we were just sitting there going like this.
The whole unboxing
just
thing
cringing.
Is fascinating to me. Just in terms of like why that's an attractive, like, why do people like watching unboxing? Is it the experience of opening something for yourself? Is that?
Yeah, I guess so. It's just product porn.
Yeah.
Yeah. I suppose. It's just, yeah, that's,
it's
exactly
consumerism
what it is.
Without
it's
having to buy anything.
Little dopamine hit.
Loot boxes, you know?
Ah, fair, fair.
Yeah. I still want to do our child psychologist reacts to YouTube kids videos. We talked about doing it a
we
long time
We should do
ago.
That.
That's a great idea.
Just we see should if do that. React, but it's kids videos. Just get to hear about just how rough it is. I actually did a little presentation for YouTube back when they had the product team in LA. And the main point I like, so the product team is the team that makes the actual like interface, the product YouTube. And one of the things I was focused on, like in my presentation, was the fact that they had zero regulations for kids as actors. Cause in Hollywood, like you have to have a teacher on set. You can't have them on set past a certain hour. You can only have 8 hours a day. If you're doing an extended shoot, then you get schooling on the shoot. Like, if you pay the kids, it goes to a trust in their name, so the parents can't take the money. There's always laws and regulations. Same thing with television. If you are playing kids media, you can't have cereals or candy in your commercials. You can't do toys between certain hours when young kids are home from school. So all the ads are regulated too, but none of that exists on YouTube. So people are going on YouTube and making millions, literally millions of dollars, exploiting their kids. And there's no regulations protecting those kids. There's none of that guarantees that they're getting schooling. There's nothing, like, it's a complete Wild West. And that was my whole presentation. It's like, you guys need to start getting your act together. Otherwise, I guarantee you in about 8 years, you're going to start getting stories of people coming out and being like, okay, YouTube totally exploited me, you know?
Yeah.
I have a thought on this. Because this is coming up again, right? With what just happened late last year with Instagram. And, you know,
they're saying, make Instagram for kids, that thing.
Well, no, the whole hey, we have empirical evidence that Instagram is harmful for girls specifically. And have we done anything about it? No, we haven't. No, have you done anything about it at all? No, we really haven't. Even though you have empirical evidence that shows that and you guys already know about it. Yeah.
We
haven't done anything. Yeah. So are we too far gone? Are we too far gone? Are we past the point of people being able to be like, hey, there needs to be some regulation here?
I don't think so. But honestly, my hope is that the natural regulation of people getting bored with shit is going to actually influence this. Where at a certain point, people will be like, I'm over it. I don't really care about Instagram anymore. I don't care about the because at a certain point, it's going to be old news. What about the babies being born now? They're like, TikTok, whatever. I don't
what's happening with Twitter videos, right now.
You know, what's that? That people are just like, I don't care about Twitter or?
Well, I don't know if this is directly tied to its use, but its stock price since mid last year is basically halved.
Oh, yeah. It's because there's no way they can make any money. That's the thing. That's why it's halved.
Yeah.
Well, this is the whole weird thing. It is weird. It's super weird because I think the last since Trump became president is where everyone's kind of having this coming to terms with this concept of social media and the regulation here. Because once Trump started running for president, it was everyone's we don't get previously it was oh yeah, there's bullshit on Facebook. But now it's oh, hey, the president and the people surrounding him are putting bullshit out there. And it's all right, okay. If it's supposed to be a president, you know, you're supposed to be some level of vetting with what you say and what you do. And suddenly now you have this prominent figure using social media and saying crazy bullshit all the time. And suddenly it's okay, everyone's wait a second. Okay, so we flag his tweets? We're gonna put a little marker next to this thing. Is it too far gone now?
Because we went 4 years of that, and then but then everybody else started doing it.
Yeah,
everybody else in these positions started doing it too.
I know. Well, it's weird because it's now this whole Joe Rogan Spotify thing, they're okay. All right, everyone's angry at us, so we'll put a little eye with a circle next to it.
The eye's there.
Click here for COVID info.
By the way, COVID misinformation. It's there's tiny little baby steps here and there, kind of happening now with this concept of platforms and responsibility. But it's one of those I don't know. It's it's you drop your phone and you bump it with your foot. You know, it's that kind of it's that level of effort of trying to fix a problem, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you definitely have back in, before the internet, you had central, news sources, basically, you had basically the big three channels, ABC, CBS, NBC. I probably missed one. Fox, old Fox. And, so they have their news shows and that's where you get your information. So there were gatekeepers to the news. And while they certainly purported to you know, trying to uphold a certain value of truthfulness, and they did to some extent. There's also, of course, just natural bias and control of information that would come from that. And of course, trying to actually sell views and all that kind of stuff. And like, now there is no gatekeeper and anybody can post anything, which the whole using the news to get views has only been
exacerbated. Well, there's another different thing though that's happened too since the rise of digital media.
Well, there hasn't been you haven't had a commitment to truthfulness necessarily. Like, you had a commitment to truthfulness back in the day, but now there is no commitment to truthfulness.
But what I'm saying is part of the reason of that is because people now aren't paying for their media anymore.
Right. They're paying, and they pay by view, you pay by ads. And that's
pay by ad. And then therefore now you're clicking on something rather than getting a newspaper sent to you, or rather than watching it on broadcast television where it's like subsidized and paid by major advertising.
I think
without
it goes,
clicks.
I think it goes one level deeper than all that, which is the whole point of the internet and these social media platforms is to give everyone a voice.
Mm-hmm.
And so suddenly now 7 billion people have a voice. How do you regulate thought?
Yeah.
Because that's basically what is happening here. We're like, we're at a point in time where it's like, okay, anyone can upload a video to YouTube. So cool. Now it's a versus like that technology being within a small number of hands. Yeah. So like, unfortunately, it comes back to maybe it's like it's a new concept here because you can't regulate thought. And when everyone has access to upload whatever they want, then suddenly it's like, well, how do you regulate that? How do you regulate every image of a child in a YouTube video? And how do you rate whether that's a channel designed to profit off of ad dollars, or is that just someone's like home movies channel?
I feel like there's a really simple answer to it. Let me just throw out a casual, easy answer that
let's do it.
Let's do it. No, but
one
seriously,
of the most complex problems of the 21st century.
Here's what it boils down to, in my opinion. If you are curating the content on your platform in any way, literally, if you have an algorithm and it's not just like sorted by chronological upload date, you know, but if you're actually coming up with a way to say, like, okay, I'm going to put this in front of you, I'm going to hide this, you are now deciding, you are now stating things, you're now saying this is true, this is not, this needs to be viewed, this isn't. You, the moment you start curating your media is the moment you are no longer just a platform and you are now a publisher. And if people want to say whatever they want to say, they can pay for their own web hosting and put it up on their own website. Go for it, right? If you want to say what you're going to say and it's going to go onto YouTube and YouTube's going to be like, hey, you know, it's just whatever. It's an open platform, free speech. It's like, no, you have an algorithm. It's not free speech. You are curating this stuff. That's where the laws of libel and slander all need to be reapplied. And they're not, you know, all that stuff does exist. There are legal repercussions.
The world is so fucked up right now.
It would be so easy to like just step forward.
I totally fucking agree. I totally agree. And I think it's fine for like YouTube to be like, we want to ban these channels because we think they're doing misinformation. Go for it. I don't give a shit who they are, whether I agree with them or not. But I think they should have every power to do that. And everyone who's like complaining about being canceled or like, you know, social media, it's like, fuck you.
Yeah. Like, you're on somebody other company's website. Yeah, you make your own website. It costs you $5 a month.
Go to your own damn website.
Right. Well, the argument is that it isn't just their website. It is now the platform for public speech. That's what Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube,
but
and
they're
even
not.
TikTok.
But they really aren't.
They
factually aren't.
But if it's like, if you have
but
like...
You're having your cake and eating it too, though, Nico. You're saying, no, it is... You are a publisher as soon as you apply an algorithm, but screw the people who you can kick off because it's a
private
company.
That's not kicking you. I'm being very consistent. I'm saying it is a corporate platform. It is their own website and they are curating stuff and they can do whatever they want with it. And if you have a problem with it, go make your own website. Like, sure. Obviously, you know, voice your complaints, do all that kind of stuff. Try and make YouTube a better place. That's awesome.
Why do they need to be regulated then?
Because they are actively publishing things without vetting them, because they hide behind that we're a platform and, you know, we don't curate. It's an open thing when it's not. They do curate.
Right. But you're saying there's an inherent aspect of like public speech that's happening.
I'm saying like if YouTube is taking a video, somebody's going out and saying that, you know, the election is a bunch of fraud, right? And it's not truthful. And then YouTube takes that and sticks it in the little algorithm. And okay, now it's going to go out in front of a million new people. YouTube is deciding to publish that and they are now publishing misinformation, and that is YouTube that is doing that. It's kind of the same issue that they had that whole law, and YouTube was trying to get all of its different users to like write into the EU to tell them not to pass that law. I can't remember what it was called, but basically the law was saying like, hey, it's not the person who uploads it to your service that's responsible for the copyright infringement. It's you who owns the service that's responsible for the copyright.
I think you're missing a few things, though, in your analysis there.
Or what about the physical location metaphor? A town or a company makes like a big square where everyone can go to talk, and they put like sharp objects everywhere. And so you go there to talk, and then you hurt yourself, and you're like, look, no, anyone can come here. It's your own thing. It's like, no, you're responsible
for that space
to keep this space like free of danger, since you're like paying for it or hosting it. It's like you would still be like, I'm suing the platform, not like suing other people around, you know. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah, like if I took my computer and I opened it up to the internet, I'm like, anybody can use my computer, and like somebody comes and like stores a bunch of child porn on it so other people can come and grab it, I can't be like, oh, you know, whatever, it's an open platform. Like, no, it's your computer.
Or yeah, you go to a concert. Yeah,
right. So, but you're still saying that you're still saying though that there is some arbiter of truth in this context.
Well, yeah, and I mean, talking about like regular slander, libel, all those kind of things that do apply. You know, a newspaper can't go out and just say completely factually false things about, say, another person or another company without getting into potential legal trouble. But YouTube has hidden behind the whole like, oh, it's not our content, it's somebody else's content, we're just hosting it. It's like, well, no, you're actually publishing it, which is a difference.
Right. But you are also then saying, okay, so take the misinformation example. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now there's misinformation. It doesn't matter what it is. Right. It's who is this arbiter of what is in between this misinformation? Right. If I'm like, okay, you want to remove the election fraud misinformation, COVID misinformation.
I think we can accept that there's a concept of truthfulness.
Can you remove that information too?
There's like a concept of truthfulness and what's the term I'm looking for here? But acting with best intentions, things like that. There is a concept here that you can tell when somebody is bullshitting you versus somebody talking about something that, you know, maybe there's things that you haven't quite figured out yet.
No, I agree. Like, I agree. Like, you look
the Instagram
at
thing is a great example. There you go. It's like, look
at Zuckerberg's Congress interview, and it's like so obvious that he's just hiding behind his own platform,
right?
Pretending like he doesn't have control over it. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important to recognize that these are public platforms,
but they're not.
They're not
public.
At all.
They're private platforms.
I know you said you're that's the distinction I'm trying to make here. Yeah. Is you're saying no? These are private companies in and of their entirety. So, but then when the government comes in and is like, hey, we need to do something because your actions are affecting the greater public, then they hide behind and they go, no, it's not us, it's the user. We're a private company, not a public company, not a government asset, you know, none of the First Amendment doesn't apply. And you're vehemently saying that now, that they can do whatever they want because they're a private company. Well, what about the public impact? Could you say the same thing about an oil company? Could you say the same thing about an energy company? Yeah, it's a private company, but if they don't deliver the energy, then you don't have electricity. And now all of a sudden there's a public impact there where they're profiting off of it. And they have now a moral and social responsibility that's beyond just like, hey, I'm a private company, leave me alone. And I think the fact that that exists about these platforms is totally...
At the end of the day, it becomes a simple question of whether or not it's a private company.
Even if you think Nico, about, it's not a simple question. These companies are so large. They're so large and they have such an egregious impact on the public at large. You cannot honestly sit there and say that they have no public impact or they're not public speech platforms.
No, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying at all.
But once again, I think the oil thing is a great metaphor or a great analogy, actually, because, you know, there's tons of regulations surrounding how and where, you know, things need to be approved. You're not going to just put up an oil well somewhere randomly and then tell people later. It's like, no, we're sending geologists to this area. We're sending like Marines and wildlife scientists to this area. We're studying it. We're getting things written down. It's all approved. It's regulated. How it's transferred, how it's extracted. There's safety precautions surrounding the entire process. How it can be sold is regulated as well, where it can go. Like the entire process, because of that public impact, it's highly regulated, you know? And now granted, an oil spill happens. Yes, the oil company then suddenly gives all the politicians bonuses to get a lot of leniency and subvert.
Yeah, and they put ads about how friendly they are on public television. Yeah,
clean coal.
We're sorry.
We're scrubbing the coal. We're washing it.
Washed it. We bleached the coal.
And granted, there's an entire slew of issues, but it's still at its base. You know, we have that. There is, because of the public impact, there is the regulatory structure to try and keep it in its lane so that way it doesn't become too chaotic and it keeps consistency. So it's like, I feel like, so yeah, by that measure, it's kind of like, well, these are huge companies too. They have a huge public impact. So why aren't the regulations there to force them into their lane?
It would be useful for the public at large, but it also does bring up the First Amendment and the free speech question.
But it's not a government institution, right. So like,
but this is what I'm saying, Nico. Well, here's the thing, if you had a company that was so large that it was denying everybody due process of law, such that they were just like some company that was just like entirely circumventing some fundamental right.
But they can do that. They can do whatever they want with their platform. Dude, it's their servers. It's their platform. It's that simple. And like, if there's bad fallouts because of that, then you got to deal with it.
Yeah,
you don't get to just like the laws aren't going to really apply because this is a little bit of a funky situation. Like, no, it's a private company and it's a private platform. And honestly, if we were strict about our applications of what that means, it would kind of eliminate a couple of these problems that we're talking about. You know, it's either embrace it as a private platform or it's not a private platform at all, which of course it isn't. It's a
company.
You're
saying it's a private platform with a huge public impact, but also does not need to adhere to public practices that the government would otherwise need to adhere to. That's literally what you're saying.
Legally, they do not. Of course they don't. They can do whatever they want. They can say whatever they want. They're a private company.
Our studio and says something really stupid.
What is the purpose of the government then? What is the purpose of the government then? If not to act as a buffer between a great public.
If we're going to get into a deep talk about First Amendment rights and how much that should be adhered to outside of public institutions, this is not really the space for it.
Here's the problem.
What are you talking about? This is the perfect space for it. This is a podcast about a bunch of video creators on YouTube. What are you talking about?
I think, just going to say this, hate me, I call into the question whether it's worth listening to everyone. With free speech is cool, and I agree, the First Amendment is a very important right. I'm not saying the First Amendment is bad, but when everyone has the power of a magnifying glass to like say dumb shit.
Wait, magnifying glass or megaphone?
Megaphone. free speech is good, but then if the government is forced to supply megaphones to everyone... I don't think that's a good idea.
Look, at the end of the day here, I just want to be clear. A lot of people confuse this. The First Amendment, and you know this, Jake, I'm not saying this to you. The First Amendment only applies to the government. Like, it only says the government
cannot. It means you can't go to jail and you can't be deprived of your liberty
for saying
something, whether it's smart or stupid.
Right. Obviously, there's a couple of very specific restrictions, but yes.
Naturally, but.
Yeah. And that only applies to the government. You know, if YouTube wants to be like, look, no talking about guns on YouTube, which they kind of did.
Okay, it doesn't. They can do that. It doesn't just apply to the government.
It doesn't apply to a company. A company can be like, hey, we only hire Christians here.
No,
they can do that.
No,
the government can't.
I'll give you an example.
They kind of can.
A company can totally do that.
As long as you don't say it.
That's the line.
First of all, no, you guys are going down a little bit of a path, which is some of the argument against. You're establishing core concepts, which are some of the arguments against. This idea that no, they're a private company, they can do whatever you want, you don't like it, start your own platform. And that's this thing, these, like, first and foremost, if let me give you an example. If I'm a company, a private company, and I organize all, say I have 500 employees, and I say all 500 employees go out into a public square and incite a riot incite violence.
Be heavily illegal, yes.
Why would that be illegal?
Because inciting a riot and inciting violence is a crime.
Right. Well, we didn't say, all we did was say things.
But that is an illegal thing to do. You cannot say certain things.
Why is that illegal? It's illegal. You can deny somebody the right of free speech. Mm-hmm. Somebody's free speech can be taken from them, not by necessarily the government. The government is not the one who is protecting the right. They're taking it away.
Right. There's very specific places it applies. Like, for example, libel, slander, yelling fire in a crowded theater is the classic example.
Right.
You can't put other people, you can't incite violence. You can't incite danger. You can't mortally threaten somebody.
But you're saying the First Amendment, the protections of the First Amendment only apply to the government.
No, I'm saying that the protections of the First Amendment are limitations of the government. The government cannot pick an official religion. The government cannot house troops in your house. The government cannot search your private property without a warrant. Warranty.
Well, those are, yeah, that's warranty. The first and warranty. Third. And
sure.
But yeah.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah.
It's just, you're saying this, you don't deny that these platforms have a massive global impact on information and equality.
No, I'm
and
not denying that
human
at all.
Rights.
Of course, I'm not denying that. That's an obvious.
You're not denying that at all.
Of
yet you're
they have
saying.
A huge impact.
Yet you're saying that they have no obligation to maintain free and open discourse as you would in a free society.
They have an obligation, but not a legal obligation.
And I'm saying, why isn't there a legal obligation at this point? They should,
because there is a distinction between something legal, something moral, something that you simply just want to provide for the users. You know, if the people of YouTube don't value an open platform, they don't, like, Netflix is not an open platform, people still value it and use it. You know, it's like there's a whole
it's
wide
Netflix
range
is
here.
Not a public speech flat platform though.
I mean,
I don't understand how you're separating
speech.
Public speech. You're separating public speech and free and open discourse. And then I don't know how you can separate those two things.
Yeah, but
in
it's
a free
like
society.
Saying, like, hey, guys, meet up. We're meeting up at the pizza shop
we're
every Friday
Chuck
night.
E. Cheese.
We're meeting up at Chuck E. Cheese every Friday night to talk about sports. And then Chuck E. Cheese is closed. Or they say, you know, hey guys, like, you gotta stop meeting here. Like, we have a party tonight.
Maybe pick something a little more like not kid friendly. We're gonna meet up at Chuck E. Cheese to talk about
our freaking.
No, you guys are downplaying.
Here's what's
yeah,
really happening.
Chuck E. Cheese
and
says,
like,
get the fuck out of
Chuck E. Cheese example.
Like,
I understand.
This is a fucking
understand
place
your
for
Chuck E. Cheese
Discord.
Example, and you're trying to make my argument sound more clowny.
No, I'm not
it's
trying
Chuck
to.
Chuck E. Cheese, I get it, but what's really happening?
Put a straw man in a Chuck E. Cheese.
Really happening is these platforms put themselves out there as public speech platforms,
right,
became
right,
massively rich and successful as public speech platforms, and then when we are asking the government to regulate them as public speech platforms and to protect free speech and open discourse, you're then saying, oh no, but they don't have to do that.
No, I'm saying that I'm saying they aren't public speech platforms. I'm saying they are private platforms.
Exactly. How can you say that?
I'm not saying they can't be regulated. Well,
they're not public
speech.
How can
you say they're not public speech platforms?
They absolutely are.
Look, you're saying we need to regulate them as publishers, but they're not public speech platforms.
Are they owned by the government? Are they owned
that
by the public?
That has nothing to do with it. That has nothing to do with it. You're saying they need to be regulated. Nico,
YouTube is an advertising platform that allows you to upload videos.
And not get as animated as I am about this, but you are fundamentally incorrect in this nature.
If YouTube was a public speech platform, it wouldn't run ads.
You cannot sit there and say that something is not a public speech platform, but needs to adhere to the obligations of publishers. You can't do it.
Whether it's YouTube, Reddit, TikTok, Twitter, or any other public speech platform, they are private companies and they can do whatever.
You just called it a public speech platform again.
Let me finish. They can do whatever the heck they want with their servers, with their rules, with their guidelines, because they are private companies.
Then stop saying that they need to be treated like publishers then. Stop saying that.
So therefore, the stuff, therefore, you finished. Therefore, the stuff on their servers, the stuff they are publishing, it is under, like, they are responsible for it. If they end up publishing something that, say, starts a riot, they are responsible for it. It's on their servers, and they are publishing it. It's not that they're doing it passively. They are actively influencing an algorithm to decide what people want to look at and what they don't want to look at.
You upload a video saying, hey, let's start a riot.
Platforms.
And then they go, like, I like this video. Let's put it to the top.
And then they're like, hey, a lot of people are watching this. Yeah, we're gonna push this and recommend this so that a ton of people see this.
Yeah, and they need to be held responsible for that, as any private entity would.
And
but
it's
then
in their...
you're saying on the same... then you're saying with the other hand that they can take away whatever types of speech that they want from their platform.
Yeah, they can.
What?
If I make
I feel like you're making arguments and then we're making arguments.
Yeah,
but these aren't meshing because I feel like you have a different version of this conversation than I do right now.
No,
when you just said what, it didn't make any impact here.
YouTube already decides to upload whatever they want. They ban stuff all the time.
So let's break it down real simple, Jordan.
Yeah.
Jordan writes down,
let's break it down.
Some
let's
wacky
break it down.
Stuff. All right. And I read it and I go and I look at this wacky stuff. All right. And then I'm going to go, you know what? I think Jake and Nico really got to see this stuff. So I give it to both of you guys and you see it. And then a few minutes later, you guys start breaking stuff. You bust my windows someone's windows. And I'm like, okay, whose fault was that? Who's at fault here? Was that Jordan for saying, hey, giving me a note that says, hey, breaks this guy's windows? Or is it my fault for saying, you know, who would like to see this? In fact, let's hand this out
to
more
guys.
People.
It's both of your faults.
So it's both of our faults.
It's a shared fault.
So it's basically, yeah, it's Jordan's fault for doing the initial.
You guys are both guilty
here.
And, should be ashamed.
And then it's partially my fault.
My windows.
For then going, you know what? Broken. You know what? According to everything I know on how to make money and get views, in order to profit off of this crazy message that says break windows, I know the exact people to give it to. And then so now I'm profiting off of his inciting a riot, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's just supposed to be for fun.
It's a metaphor, really.
You know, so it's a metaphor, but like, that's the thing. It's like, now I'm profiting off of like a business decision. You know, this is how they go, oh, this is how we should act as a company, is by taking this type of information and doing X with it, you know,
yeah. See,
in order to make money.
My point, I think Sam illustrated well, but Jake, my point of view at the end of the day is that by thinking of these companies as private entities, which they are, and really be adhering to that, along with that comes the responsibility that they need to have, as well as the punishments for not following those responsibilities. You know, a private entity, they are responsible for publishing, like the newspaper is responsible for publishing truthful things, you know? And that carries over to something like YouTube, Twitter, or anything else that's going to be publishing information.
We are in agreement on the idea that regulation would be useful as a public good. But I think fundamentally you are coming at it from a slightly different angle, in the sense of like this whole idea about like free speech. You're saying it doesn't matter. They can push whatever kind of information and speech that they want to, but if they push the wrong speech, whatever that is, then they get in trouble. So what you're doing, though, is you're creating this totally arbitrary arbiter of truth. And then you're saying,
you're wrong,
and it incites a riot.
I'm not introducing an arbiter of truth. I think that's where we need to be clarifying here. I am applying the laws that already exist for all of this stuff. There are already regulations for how all this stuff works. You cannot publish certain things. You cannot say certain things in news articles.
Those laws were written for traditional media.
They still apply. They still apply easily.
Yes, but they updated the Copyright Act in 1976 after 100 years of copyright infringement. And they were like, what do we do? Let's update it in 1976. You think that we can't update our laws to fit the technologies?
I'm not saying we even need to. All I'm saying is that laws already exist that handle the problems that we're dealing with. They just simply need to be applied.
Maybe that's where you and I disagree then. I think I just wanted to get to the bottom of that. And you and I disagree because you're saying, no, they're private companies. They need to be treated as such. And yeah. however you like that or don't like it, it's fine. They can say that there's election fraud. They can say that men can be pregnant.
No, doesn't matter.
No,
I want to be clear. You can't publish certain things as a private company. If you go out and
right.
you blatantly
but if they say,
lie.
My point was, if they say those things and people get hurt because of it or they're blatantly lying, then they
get in
trouble.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. But and I'm just saying that the application of the pre-existing laws to the situation that we're in now in 2022 is not enough. It's not enough.
I'd agree with that. I think we need to obviously update things, but obviously stuff does exist that covers a lot of the issues we're already dealing with.
Yes, there's a foundation, obviously. It's not like we're wholly without law in this area.
And I also want to throw it out there that there is a difference, at least in my mind, stark difference between just because something is legal doesn't mean it's what you want to do or it's the right thing to do, you know?
Of course, there's a difference to that. Yeah.
So when I say like it should be this way, I don't mean like that's functionally how it should be. I just mean that's the legal structure, you know, around it should be a certain way. But how people want to act, obviously, they have their own decisions beyond that. I'm getting a little abstracted here.
I understand. Yeah. The only point I was trying to make is that we now need to start to consider these platforms as public platforms. They're public utility, almost like platforms, like the internet
perhaps,
providers.
I just feel like that absolves them of responsibility.
Is that doesn't that give them too much credit?
Yeah,
you know,
I think it just absolves them responsibility for what they do.
I don't think so at all. I mean, these are massive media and data and informational platforms upon which people
are popping up all the time now. They're popping up all the time.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying every single social media platform. I'm saying ones of a certain scale. Like you can literally look at the economics of it.
I think just what it all really boils down to, whether it's public or private, there needs to be a certain amount of responsibility for what they are actively publishing and pushing on their platforms, which is something they are deciding to do privately. You know, when Facebook decides to tweak the algorithm to publish images to young teenage girls that harms their body image, that's Facebook's decision to do that, and it needs to be treated accordingly. Public entity, private entity, doesn't matter. Facebook's a company. They took that action, and that's the repercussion, and it needs to be attached directly to their decisions, which they actively made to do that. You know, and people like to obfuscate that. They like to hide that and fog that up, but it's not a complicated issue. It's very simple. Facebook very clearly had an engineer make the algorithms that do that, and they know how it works. It's very simple. You can change that.
But your argument is they need to change it or get in trouble, or the free market will create another platform. Is that your argument to solve the problem?
My argument is that I believe there are already laws in place that would get them in trouble for that action. And the reason those laws have not been applied is for a myriad of reasons.
There's two categories, by the way. By the way, I think the confusion is because we're talking about two categories here, okay? We're talking about category A, which is the private platforms. They can ban or treat users however they wish, okay? They create a narrative, and the content is conformed to the private company's narrative, all right?
Do they have a right to do that?
Big companies have been terrifying for much longer than social media has existed.
I know, but that's your argument, it's just throw your hands up.
No, I'm not throwing my hands up. I'm saying it's a persistent problem that critical thinking and awareness can overcome. You see a corporate gas station message saying, hey, we're making the future a better place by selling gas. And you're like, cool. You know, actually, I know there's other people doing it. I'm using critical thinking. I know this is all bullshit. You know, cool. I subverted the corporate narrative in a millisecond. Piece of cake. So that's easy to deal with. So then the other end of this is kind of totally different. This is the sugary cereal ads paired with children's TV shows concept. And that's a completely different category we're talking about here as well, which is
A different category.
But so we've been kind of intertwining these arguments, which is why I think it's getting a little confusing here. You know, like, the obviously, you know, Google can't get in trouble for having a guy who goes like, dude, put this thing up your butt and here's your COVID. You know, it's like Google's not gonna like get into trouble by the government.
But at the same time, Google published that to, you know, if they made that the number one video on the site for like 5 days, you're like, well, Google, you're kind of backing that message now.
Well, I mean, yeah, you're right. And obviously now, but so, well, I guess now we start, intertwining these categories once again. Let's say some five people die because they put the wrong thing up their butt and it didn't cure their COVID and they died. So whose this fault
legit
is that?
Happened with the with this legit happened with now the Tide Pods.
Mm-hmm. Now here's the thing. Whose fault is it? Google?
Right.
Was it YouTube? Or was it the stupid person so who uploaded the video?
Here's the point that I'm trying to make. With I keep going back to this free speech thing and da-da-da-da-da. What I'm saying is that the best ideas, in a world where you cannot control thought,
right,
the best ideas
scary.
That actually get to the top, that people actually follow, are only come about through open discourse, and it needs to be, and there's a line, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying you just allow narratives that are stupid or people take advantage of or are completely blatantly misinformation, but I'm saying there is a ton of gray area. There's a ton of gray 100%. Area, and people are going to say things you don't like, and you can't just berate the platform when it's a effectively public speech platform to just say this needs to be off of here, which is exactly what they're doing with Joe Rogan right now. Exactly what they're doing. People who haven't even seen his episodes, who don't even know anything about him, they've just heard sound bites and yada yada. They're saying Spotify, you need to do this. Da 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 da. If Spotify was treated as a public platform that it was required to uphold free speech, that wouldn't even be an issue. It wouldn't even be a thing that was decided by the corporation.
I don't think we should be holding platforms like that to a free speech legal test. That said, I think you and I are both in agreement that free speech, regardless of whether you're a private or public entity, is still an ideal that should be pursued because open discussion is important. But it does bring up to mind, you know, right now with the way things work, whether it's advertising based or view based, people aren't necessarily wanting the truth. And this is a bit of an issue I've had with Reddit recently, where you're not getting the truth when things are upvoted. You're getting what people want to believe is true. And one of the most common misconceptions about all the time is so, for example, people talk about, hey, should there be an Oscar for stunts, right? And then immediately somebody chimes in, well, you know, the problem is if they had an Oscar for stunts, people would just try to one up each other with the most dangerous stunt. So that's why they don't have it. And it's like that person has no idea how stunts work. They have no idea how the industry works. That is not what qualifies a good stunt, is how dangerous it is. That's not how it works.
Well, if they legalize marijuana, then everyone's just going to want to do heroin, man. Don't you know?
So I say that, and I say it nicely at first, but I say that and it gets downvoted because people don't want that to be the truth. They want the truth to be that stunts aren't allowed or awards aren't allowed for stunts because people want to try to one up each other for danger. And so the truth doesn't matter. What people want to believe matters on sites like Reddit, where you have
people upvote that one picture of the Cortana from the Halo series that's coming out, and they're like, something's wrong with this. This is janky. And it's like, no, that's not the truth. There's nothing wrong with Cortana. It's the whole series. The whole Halo series is janky, and you're pretending like they got one thing wrong. It's like, no, they got everything's wrong. And everyone posting on the Discord now, like, we should fix Cortana's janky face. Like, where do we be? Like, that's like halfway through the trailer. We're gonna fix shots from the trailer. We're gonna start at the beginning. Like, this is stupid. I've been wanting to. We're gonna talk about this more in VFX Artist React, probably. But the whole thing's stupid.
Yeah,
it's not just one thing. But
look, there's
it's
a lot. Of, there's
bullshit.
A lot of shitisms out there. I don't like that.
I'm losing it. This has been bottled up, and I just found the closest segue to you say something. Sorry.
I really don't like shitism culture. I think it's really toxic. But I all I'm saying is there's a
I'm gonna sum it up. Here's the thing. There's a difference between something being harmful and like and becoming true misinformation, and there's a difference between that and something that hurts your feelings or makes you feel bad. And I'm not saying bad things where people say something that hurts your feelings. People need to fucking nut up. All right? There's going to be plenty of that shit out there. But that being said, right now, this is the problem with the platforms, is that they're saying, oh, yeah, we're like banning harmful users. It's like, no, yeah, right now you're banning a lot of non-harmful users that are saying things that are getting other people angry because they disagree. And unfortunately, this focus seems to be on this like bullshit emotional argument concept instead of the actual harmful things that are happening on these platforms, all right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's Tide Pod bullshit or it's child abuse You know, right. Like there are actual problems in front of us that people see on social media. And unfortunately, because of the platform thing, they take the PC approach and say, all right, you know, these two people are having a disagreeing political argument. Which one should we ban? Which user should we keep on the platform versus which one should and like it seems to be centered around this like petty emotional discussion. Whereas yeah. I think there's larger problems that we're all starting to see, especially when taking into account, you know, the publisher role that they are growing and they're assuming this role more and more as the platforms grow.
Yeah. I think that's a good summary. And I just want to say to anybody who's made it this far in the podcast, including Woo! Jordan, who's been along for
the ride. See, this has been great. I feel like I should clap or something. Like, oh
Jordan's going to go on by himself now, monologue for the next 20 minutes, wrap up, post discussion thoughts.
Guys, I have to bounce like right now because my babysitter's leaving in a few minutes. Far. And if I don't make it home,
no one's
going to take care of my kids.
Whoever's listened this far, thank you for listening. You're listening to us figure this out in real time. I'd love to hear people's thoughts in the comments below.
All right, who should be banned?
We're not trying to tell anybody what to think.
Of the four of us, who should be banned?
All we're doing is we're sharing what we think.
Sam, you're right. That is what's going on. You
comment
it at the end there.
Below who we should ban from the quarter cast in order to make a more peaceful quarter cast.
We're going to ban Jordan.
Yes. That is literally what's happening.
Jordan's too nice and agreeable.
I know. But other things are happening too.
That's
other
literally are what's also happening. They're like, who should we ban? I don't know. What do you think, Greg? I don't know. That's it. You nailed it.
At the end of the day, it's all just for shits and giggles, right?
It's all social media. It's all for them likes. All right. Yeah. Like and subscribe, right. Guys. Have a good night.
Wow.
See
you guys later.
Catch you later.
Oh, man. I'm losing my mind. All right, guys, I'm going to just swiftly begin walking.
I respect it.
Away. And it was a great, great chat. Very fiery. Can't wait to talk about Halo more. We're gonna break this Halo crap down.
You got a little vent
so
in there,
then.
That must feel good.
No, actually, tomorrow's Bollywood, so we're doing Bollywood, which is even better. I cannot wait to reveal these Bollywood secrets that I've learned. They are so good.
All right, so long, everybody. Peace. Thanks for listening.
Later.